we find that Yom Kippur is referred to as Shabbos Shabbosan. It's the it's like a double Shabbos. So there certainly is a connection between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. The simple connection would be that both of them are prohibited in the 39 Melachos. But perhaps there is another connection as well, and this will be based on what we spoke last week. We mentioned last week that Shabbos and Tshuva go together. We had the Pasuk in Parshas Hazinu, Vishafto Ad Hashem Lekecha, and we noted that the word Vishafto, and you should return, is the same letters, Shabbos, Shin, Beis, Tov, returning to Hashem, and Shabbos are the same. Because just like Tshuva is returning to Hashem, so too the Yisod of Shabbos is to return to Hashem. And we mentioned that the main melacha, the main one of the 39 acts that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos that demonstrates this point is Yitzias HaShabbos. Is you're not allowed to carry from a private dwelling to a Rishus HaRabim to a public dwelling. And we brought a medrash and we explained that actually there is no public dwelling. That everything, as just hit me now, the Zohar's lashon is less asar panui minei. There is no part of the world that there is no that the Shechina is not found there. So meloi kol haaretz kvoidoi, the grandeur of Hashem, the honor of Hashem fills the entire world. So everything is a rishus hayachid. It all belongs to one individual, and who is that individual? That individual is Hashem. So the idea on Shabbos is that what you, man, during the 6 days of work, you believe that this world is run by other forces, right? That there's Rishus HaRabim, there's a lot of forces going on in the world, that you're supposed to, at the end of Shabbos, come to the realization that it's all from Hashem, and this the whole world belongs to Hashem. And if a person knows that, that takes away his daiga, his worry from the various forces that could be in the world, and he trusts Hashem, he has menucha, menuchas HaShabbos, because he comes to that realization that everything's from Hashem. There's a Zohar, which we didn't mention last week. The Pasuk says, Al Yetzei Ish Mimkoimai B'Yom HaShabbos. Nobody should go out of his place. Says the Zohar, we explained last week, Al Yotzei, he shouldn't go out, means Al Yetzei means Al Yotzi. He shouldn't take things, a basket, he shouldn't take from the Rishus HaYochid, the private domain, to the Rishus HaRabim. But the Zohar says he shouldn't go out Mimkoimai. Who does that refer to? Hashem. Hashem is called, another name of Hashem is Makom, place, because Hashem is everywhere. And a person should realize that wherever he goes in the world, he like Yonah. Yonah tried to escape from Hashem. He couldn't. You go up in the heaven, there's Hashem. You go down into a whale in the ocean, there's Hashem. Hashem is all over. A person cannot leave the Makom, the place of Hashem, because Hashem is the Makom Moshel Olam. He is the place of the universe. So the idea we mentioned last week, Vishafta, take the message in Tshuva, the return to Hashem, take that lesson from Shabbos, the same letters, because you're coming back to Hashem, you're realizing on Shabbos that everything's from Hashem, and the Vav, Vishafta, is take that message into the 6 days, Vav is six, the 6 days of creation, of when you do work during the 6 days, and you tend to forget about Hashem, you only remember Hashem on Shabbos, take that lesson back into the 6 days, that Hashem really is governing our lives, every moment of our lives, even during the 6 days of work. That's in short what we discussed last week. Based on this, we can understand a Tosus, which still has to do with Rosh Hashanah. The Chazal say in the Gemara in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, says the Gemara, that Amar Rab Yitzchak Kol Shana She'ein Toikin La B'Tchilasa Marin La B'Saifa. Every year where they don't blow shofar in the beginning of that year is going to have a bad ending. So Tosfos says that that's only if an ones happened. An ones means that they lost the shofar broke, there's no other shofar in town. So if unfortunately that happened, it's not a good sign. It means at the end of the year for them, it's going to be bad. But Tosfos says, we know that the rabbis forbid a person to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, like this year when shofar came out on Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. The rabbis forbid a person to blow shofar. And if that's the reason you didn't blow shofar, that will have no effect on... we can all breathe a sigh of relief that that will not be a bad sign that something bad will happen at the end of the year. So the Mesha Chachma, Rav Meir Simcha of the city of Dvinsk, he asks a question, two questions. Number one, the Chazal tell us whenever a person wants to do a mitzvah and an ones happened that he wasn't able to do the mitzvah, it's considered by Hashem as if he did the mitzvah. So first of all, why does Tosfos say that if by accident the shofar broke, it got lost, you didn't have any shofar, that's a bad sign? Why is it a bad sign? You're telling me a rule that whenever I wanted to go to shul to daven and there was a 20-foot blizzard in front of my door, I couldn't get out, I had a daven at home. Hashem considers it as if I went to davening. It was an onus. It was beyond my ability to cope with the weather in that situation, and I was frozen in. I couldn't go out of my house. So that's an onus. I'm putter. But it's considered as if I did it. If it's considered as if I did it, so why... Then here also it should be considered as if I did it. And I shouldn't have a bad sign. That is question number one. Question number two is, if it is a bad sign when there's an onus, so what's the difference if the onus, if the accident, is because the rabbi said, for whatever reason, that we can't blow a shofar on Shabbos? If I didn't blow a shofar, if that's a problem, then what's the difference? What the reason is, whether it's a blizzard, or the shofar broke, or the rabbi said, I can't do it. I couldn't do it, so it should be also a bad sign. Tosfos says, no, it's not a bad sign. What's the difference? So Rav Meir Simcha Dvinsk gives the following answer. He says that shofar is different than every other mitzvah. Every other mitzvah, if you had an accident and you couldn't do the mitzvah, it's as if you did it. If on purpose you didn't do the mitzvah, then you transgress that you did not fulfill one of the 613 mitzvahs. By shofar is different. Shofar is a medicine. If a doctor tells someone to take medicine, without this medicine you can't get cured. Something happened by accident, someone flushed it down the toilet, let's say. A kid came and he poured it, all the medicine down the drain. So it's as if I took it. You didn't take it. If the only way you can get cured is with the medicine, and you didn't take the medicine, I feel bad for you. It's as if you took it, but you didn't take it. It's not going to cure you. So shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we say on Rosh Hashanah, the beginning words of the pasuk psukim that we say before Tkiya Shofar spells out kras satan. It tears up the satan. The shofar has such a power that it can break the satan. That's only if we blow it. If we didn't blow, then we blew it. We missed out. We don't have the refuah. We don't have the cure. We didn't take the medicine. It won't work. As much as it's as if we did it, but we didn't do it. And it's a medicine. It's not just like a regular mitzvah. It's different. Okay, so that answers the first question. It's a medicine. We didn't take it. It doesn't work. So if the rabbi said we can't do it, so we didn't take our medicine. Here the Meshech Chachma says the following idea. What is the medicine? The medicine is that one of the aspects, there's many aspects of shofar. One of the aspects of shofar is it reminds us of the Akedah. When Yitzchok was brought on the Akedah and Hashem said, don't kill him, so a ram appeared, and Avram brought the ram as a substitute for Yitzchok. So it says that the left horn was the shofar of Har Sinai. The right horn is saved for Mashiach, and that's going to be Vahoyo Bayoy Mahu, when Mashiach comes on that day, Yitoka B'Shofar Gadol. There'll be a big shofar, and which shofar is that? That's the right shofar of the aisle of the ram that was brought in as a substitute for Yitzchak. So the idea of the shofar that we blow on Rosh Hashanah is to remind us of the ram who was a substitute for Yitzchak, and Yitzchak, it's to remind us of Yitzchak's Mesiras Nefesh. He was ready, he was not a baby, he was 37 years old at that time. He was a mature adult. He knew that he's going to get killed. And he was ready, told his father to bind him up on the altar, that he shouldn't try to fight off when his father is going to take his life. So he, Vayelchu Shneim Yachtov, they walked together, Avram and Yitzchak, and he knew what's going to happen to him. And he was ready. The Malach came and said, stop, don't kill your son. But he was ready to go for Mesiras Nefesh, to give up his life for Hashem. So that's the message of the shofar, Mesiras Nefesh. That ram's horn reminds us of the Mesiras Nefesh at the Akedah that Yitzchak was ready to give up his life. So when a Jew says, the Chazal, the rabbi said, don't blow a shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. So the Jew says, with this shofar I could break the Satan, cry Satan. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm worried maybe one Jew someplace. Why did the rabbi say you don't blow shofar on Shabbos? They were afraid you're going to, by mistake, carry it. You're going to forget it Shabbos. You're going to take the shofar to shul. You're going to blow the shofar in shul. And meanwhile, you carried. You were so excited to do the mitzvah. Oh, you forgot that it's Shabbos, that you're not allowed to carry in the street. And you're going to take the shofar and carry approximately 8 feet in the Rishus HaRabim, and you committed, you took from your house into the Rishus HaRabim, you walked in the Rishus HaRabim, which you're carrying, you're not allowed to. So because of that, the rabbi says, don't. So Rabbi Aaron Cutler in the Sefer Mishnas Rabbi Aaron points out, how frequently will this happen? Many times there's a legitimate Erev, and most people will remember, because of one person in a city that doesn't have an Erev, out of thousands of people, one person, and if that person does carry by accident the shofar, does he have to bring, we know in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they brought a korban chatos. If you did an aver by accident, you have to bring a korban, a sin offering. Does this person have to bring it? No. He's considered less than a regular shogeg. He would not bring a korban. Why? He's called to'a bidvar mitzvah. He's making a mistake as a result of a mitzvah. He's so enthusiastic to do the mitzvah that he forgets that it's an aveira to carry outside into the Rishus HaRabim. And so he's less than a shogeg. So Rabbi Aaron Cutler points out, look how afraid the rabbis were because of one person amongst thousands and thousands that might forget. And even if he forgets, he doesn't even have to bring a korban. It's less than a shogeg. But because of that, the rabbi said, don't. And what do the Jews give up? They give up because of this very remote worry. They give up the ability to fight the Satan, to break the Satan. And they give up something else. You know what they give up? They give up an opportunity to bring Mashiach. Why is that? Because Rabbi Schlesinger said a beautiful thought from his Rebbe, who is Rabbi Koppelman in Switzerland. He's a very old tzaddik. He should be Marech Yomim Admeiv Esim Shana, his Rosh Hashiva in Switzerland. Rav Koppelman said that on an answer on a very difficult Tosfos, Rabbi Schlesinger said it is one or the most difficult Tosfos in all of the Shas. What does Tosfos say? The Gemara says, why do we blow a token umarin kishen oimdim ukishen yoshvin? Why do we blow when we sit and when we stand? What does it mean we blow shofar when we sit and when we stand? There are 30 sounds of the shofar before Shemona Esrei. You're allowed to sit. We have a minig, we stand by all. Whenever you blow the shofar, we stand. But according to the real halacha, you're allowed to sit by those 30. The next 30, the Svardim, for example, they say they blow in the Shemona Esrei. While they're saying the Shemona Esrei, they blow. So certainly, Amida. Shemona Esrei is called Amida because you're mechuyif to stand up. And even the Ashkenazim who blow after Shemona Esrei, Chazoras Hashatz, but also a person should stand up. So that's why there's two sets of blowing. One is called Tekiyas de Miyushev, where we sit down. And one is called Tekiyas de Mumid, where we stand up. The Gemara asks, why do we blow sitting down and standing up? So the Gemara says, because we want to mix up the Satan. Kedei la'arve ves ha-Satan. The Satan is our antagonist. He's our prosecutor. He wants to speak bad about the Jewish people. This mixes them up. How does it mix them up? So Tosfos says, because when the big shofar of Mashiach, the right shofar of the ram, which I said is going to be blown by Mashiach, one of the aspects of that shofar is that when the sound goes, it'll never stop. It'll just keep going and going and going. So when he hears the tkiyas sitting down, he says, uh-oh, maybe this is Mashiach. And he doesn't know. When he hears the second, so that means it didn't stop. There's a whole bunch more going. So he says, oh, this must be Mashiach. And if Mashiach comes, we know the job of the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, Malach HaMoves, he's all the same. He's dead. He's finished. Mashiach comes, he's unemployed. He's finished. So he hears that shofar going on and on. He says, it's all over. So the question, and then by the time he figures out that Mashiach is not here, it's too late. He didn't have a chance to speak against the Jewish people, and that's how we defeat the Satan. So why is this Tosfos very difficult, the most difficult Tosfos in Shas? Because the question is obvious. Last year he fell for it, 2 years ago he fell for it, 5 years ago, 1,000 years ago, I mean, how stupid is he? It says that the Satan is compared to a ksil, to a foolish person. Correct, but he's not, I mean, even a fool, there's limits. For 2,000 years, thousands of years, this is going on. Every year we fool him. What's the pshat? So Rabbi Koppelman said it's not one of the hardest Tosfos in Shas, it's one of the easiest. Why? Because it's very simple. The shofar is so potent, so strong, shofar can bring Mashiach. So the Satan knows last year it didn't work, and 2 years ago it didn't work, and 10 years ago, and 1,000 years ago it didn't work, but maybe this year it's going to work. Because every year that we blow the shofar, that could bring Mashiach. So even if it, and what's the sign of it's like never ending? Oh, here it is, never ending. It didn't work last year. Okay, last year it didn't work. But the power of shofar is that it could bring Mashiach. So this year might be just the year where it's going to work. It's not that he gets fooled and we fake him out again. He didn't learn from his mistake. It's not a mistake. He knows the shofar has the power of Mashiach. So maybe this year it's going to work. And it's never ending. It sounds like this is the one that might be the Mashiach. And the Mashiach can come every year through the shofar. So that's what the shofar can create. And we give it all up. Why? Because one Jew out of thousands and thousands might forget at Shabbos, go out and carry in Rishus HaRabim, and then it's only a very small Aveira, it's not even a shogeg. So yeah?
Are you allowed to blow at home? I don't think so either. Because you said about carrying.
No, I'm saying, once they... Once they said that they're worried that somebody's going to carry it, they said, there's no blowing of shofar, because if I'm going to let you at home, then you'll forget, you'll think you could blow it in the shul. So they made it, it's called loy plug. Once they make a rule, they don't make any exception. So it's very interesting. This whole thing is based on which one of the 39 malachos? Hotzah, carrying. Because we explained already that carrying is the yisod of Shabbos. Carrying reminds us of our mistake from the 6 days of the week that we think there's a Rishus HaRabim. We think there's other powers out in the world that we have to worry about besides Hashem. We don't remember Ein Oid Movadoi, there's nothing besides Hashem. Shabbos is the teacher every week. We have to get a new lesson that there's nothing in the world except for Hashem. So Chazal, we're so worried that we're gonna, 1 out of 10,000 is going to transgress maybe this idea of carrying, which is the whole foundation of Shabbos, that they were willing to give up everything that the shofar represents. They were willing to destroy the Satan, give it up. Willing, it's going to bring Mashiach, give it up. Because we're afraid that one Jew might by accident transgress. What malacha? The malacha of carrying, which is the whole idea of what Shabbos is all about, that there's only Hashem in the world. So says the Meshech Chachma, you got the medicine. If you didn't have a shofar, you didn't blow, you didn't take your medicine. But if you listen to the rabbis and were willing to give up everything, you have a good shofar, you could blow, but the rabbi says don't, and we listen to the rabbis, so what are we exhibiting? I'm exhibiting Mesiras Nefesh. I'm exhibiting the Akedah. The whole refuah, the whole medicine of the shofar is the Akedah, is Mesiras Nefesh, ready to give up your life for Hashem. I'm giving up a chance to get Mashiach. I'm giving up a chance to destroy the Satan through the shofar. So Hashem says, it's as if you blew the shofar. So there you won't have a bad sign at the end of the year. You'll only have it if you don't have a shofar, you have a broken shofar. But if you didn't blow because of the rabbis, the rabbanan, don't worry about it, the mitzvah Hashem, you'll have a good year. So this whole thing is based on the idea that Shabbos is the same as tshuva, that it brings a person back to Hashem. So I was thinking that last year we gave a shiur from Rabbi Soloveitchik that, in short, we're not going to say over that shiur, but the main point of the shiur was that there's two types of tshuva. There's a slow tshuva, there's a tshuva if I don't really want to become better, except for whatever reason, last year I had guilt feelings. Last time I did the Avera, I had guilt feelings for months and months. So it wasn't worth it for me. I might get in prison if I do this Avera. You're not really deciding I want to be good. So if Hashem accepts that tshuva also, whatever your motivation is. But that's a slow process. Sometimes all you need is tshuva. Sometimes you need Yom Kippur also. Sometimes you need Yisurim. You have to have pains, sicknesses. Sometimes you have to wait for Chilul Hashem. You have to wait till Yom HaMisa, till a person leaves this world. That's if you didn't do Bechira, a tshuva based on real Bechira, free choice. But if I do a tshuva, I want to become good for no reason except that I want to become good. So then there's another, that's different. That's a tshuva of Geula. Redemption. How fast is redemption? Very fast. Yeshua's Hashem keherifayin. The saving of Hashem is like in the blink of an eye. When the geula will come, we're waiting thousands of years, but when it comes, it's going to come so fast, like the blink of an eye. So that Rabbi Soloveitchik said, that's why the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, when he says, yes, he says like this, look at the greatness of tshuva. He says, yesterday, the person, emesh, hoyos, kama ma'ulo ma'ilas ha'tshuva. How great is is tshuva? Emesh, yesterday, hoyos, emuvdul me'ashem alakei Yisrael. He was separated from Hashem. Tsoyek ve'en oinenem. The Rambam brings psukim for all of these things. He used to cry to Hashem, he wasn't answered. Va'isa mitzvahs, did mitzvahs with tarfonai some befanav. They ripped it away from him. Your mitzvahs don't count. Va'hayoyim, and one day later he did tshuva, who mudbuk b'shchina, he's attached to the shchina. Shenemar va'atim advekim Hashem l'keichem. Tzoyek v'nana miyad, he's answered right away. Oisa mitzvahs v'makav v'shom b'nachas v'simcha, Hashem is happy to accept his mitzvahs. So it's yesterday, Emesh yesterday, v'hayoyim. One day, quick, because geula is quick. And that's why the Rambam says that kol anavi and kul tziva l'tshuva, ve'ein Yisrael nigolin ela b'tshuva. Ukvar v'ticha Torah, the Torah told us a promise, she'asoif Yisrael las tshuva, b'soif galusin, at the end of the golus we're going to do tshuva. U'miyad hein nigolin, miyad, right away. Once we do tshuva, it's right away. Shenemar, Bishafto ad Hashem lekecha, you will return to Hashem, and Hashem will return to you. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said it's tshuva of geula, he called it, and his main thrust of thinking was emesh v'hayoyim, yesterday, today, quick. I want to suggest perhaps they put out, as you know, the Rabbi Soloveitchik machzer. So I was looking through it, and another approach appeared to me. What is tshuva of geula? Tshuva of redemption. Not only it's quick, that's true, of course, but there's another point. I believe Rabbi Ganak has a foreword. I believe he says this thought in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik. The halacha is, of chas v'shalom bar minan, a person is a ovel right before Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur breaks the avelus. The person is sitting shiva, they get up before Yom Kippur. Now, by the other Yom Tovim, the same din, we understand. Yom Tov is Yom Simcha, but Yom Kippur is a day of awe. It's a terrifying day. So why would that, we would think maybe he should be an oval through Yom Kippur, and my Sukkot will stop. It's a time of Simcha. But why does it stop Yom Kippur? So the answer Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out is that any day where it says these two words, it breaks the avelus. What's the words? Lifnei Hashem. You're standing in front of Hashem. And for example, it says it by the Aldi Yom Tovim. In Parshas Re'eh, it says, this is speaking about Chag HaShavuos, V'somachta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. You should be happy in front of Hashem. What does it say by Yom Kippur? It says the same thing. Ki Yom Kippurim Hu Lechaper Aleichem Lifnei Hashem. Or as the Pasuk says, Lifnei Hashem Titaru. You'll get Tahara, purity, Lifnei Hashem. A day where you are standing in front of Hashem is a special day. I just remember the thought now also of Rav Gifter. He once said in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Rom Yitzchak Bloch, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas tells that we don't say Tachnun on Tisha B'Av. Tachnun is a sad tefillah about our Averis. We don't say it on Tisha B'Av. Why? Because Tisha B'Av is called a Moed. It's called a festival. And the question is, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, those are Moyadim, those are holidays. But how can I say Tisha B'Av is Koralai Moed? The Pasuk says in Eicha, call a happy day? Tisha B'Av is the saddest day in the Jewish calendar. The answer is, Moed doesn't mean a happy day. Moed comes from the root word, says Rav Bloch Hashem Yinkom Damav, he was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. So Rav Bloch said that it comes from the word Vad, Yehi Beischa Beis Vad L'Chachamim. Your house should be a meeting place for the Talmid Chachamim. It's a meeting with Hashem. Most of the time we meet Hashem on happy occasions. Mo'adim L'Simcha. We meet Vad, we meet up with Hashem. Vavayin Dal Derut Moed, we meet Hashem B'Simcha. There are sometimes a child knows he has a parent when the parent disciplines him. I saw from Samson Fall here, she says, Ki Avi Ve'imi Azavuni V'Hashem Yasveni. We say in David Hashem Oyer V'Ishi. It says, Rav Samson Fall Hirsch, if a person has the worst situation in his life, what is that? That his parents don't reprimand him. They let him do whatever you want. Ki Avi Ve'imi Yasveni. If my father and mother forsake me, Hashem Yasveni. Somehow or other, Hashem will gather you in. You'll have an NCSY here in the OU. You'll have a way to be Choser B'Tshuva. Hashem will make sure that you have that opportunity. But so we see the responsibility of a parent is to reprimand a child. So if a child runs in the middle of the street, the parent is going to give this child a punch, a slap. He has to get it. He has to know that it's a danger of his life. He can't run out into the middle of the street. So sometimes we meet Hashem on a sad day like Tisha B'Av. He gave us a punch, but we know we have a father. Whenever we realize we have a father, that's not a day to say Tachlit. The joy, even if he gave us a slap, but I know I have a father. That joy means you can't say Tachnun. You can't say this sad tefillah of Tachnun. So the same thing. Lifnei Hashem. The Rabbi Gnack brings down, the Pasuk says, Gilu Barada. You have to rejoice with trepidation. If on the day of Yom Kippur, man stands in front of Hashem. We stand alone with Hashem. And on that day, it's on the one hand the most terrifying day, like the Chazan says when he approaches by Musaf, Hinini Ani Mimash, he says, who am I? I'm coming in front of the of Mipachad. I have a fear, a terror. A person is standing in front of Melech Malchei Hamlochim, the King of Kings, and his whole destiny is going to be decided on for this coming year. He's petrified. That's one hand. But on the other hand, there's a tremendous joy. Hashem is concerned about me, about a nothing in this world. We all go in front of Hashem like sheep that are in front of the shepherd. So of anybody in the world, he chose me. Nothing. I have this chus to stand like we spoke to a few weeks ago from the Chafetz Chaim. If a person realized how every action that he did, how Hashem speaks about it to the whole heavenly hosts in heaven, he would go out of his mind of joy. So on the one hand, it's a petrifying experience. On the other hand, it's lifnei Hashem. I have the chance. Little nothing me has the chance to stand in front of the great magic, majestic Melech Malchim Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a tremendous simcha. So therefore, there's no avelus. In that sense, Yom Kippur is a tremendous day of joy. It's not just a ra'ada. It's not just a moment of terror. It's a moment of tremendous joy. So I think that this fits in with a thought that I saw from Rav Schwab. I think I once mentioned at the Shurim. The Gemara says in Masechet Brachos that there was Omer le Rav Ila Ula. Rav Ula said to Ula, Daf Tesam at Beis, Ki Ailis Lahasam, when you go up over there, Shol Bishloma de Rav Bruna, Achi Bimaimet Kolachabur, go ask how Rav Bruna is doing in front of the whole group. The Adam Gadol, who he's a great man, v'samach b'mitzvahs, and he's very happy with mitzvahs. Zim nechada one time, samach ge'ula l'tfila, v'loi pasak chucha mipume kulayayma. He once put together, like we do at the end of Shemayin Esrei, Baruch atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael, and then we start. You're not supposed to have any division between Goal Yisrael and Shemona Esrei. And he did it one time, and he was smiling a whole day. So Rav Schwab asked, like, what's the big deal? I mean, we do it Goal Yisrael, we start Shemona Esrei. What's this one time? So he says that one time Rav Bruna understood. He was smiling all day. He was so happy because he understood the connection. He lived through the connection of Goal Yisrael and Shemona Esrei. What's the connection? So Rav Schwab says, he has a whole shot, that going through davening is like going through the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have time right now to go through it, but the last step is you're walking up the steps, going through the Heichal and the Ulam, and you come to the Kodesh HaKadosh, the Holy of Holies, like the Kohen Gadol who went alone on Yom Kippur into the Holy of Holies. And when is that? By Shemona Esrei, by the Amida. That's why it's quiet. There's no one else around. It's you and Hashem. You're entering lifnei Hashem. You're coming in alone in front of Hashem. It's quiet. Nobody hears what you're saying. And you're cut off from other people. They're cut off from you. You're lifnei Hashem. What is Geula? Geula is Ani V'loi. We say it on Pesach at the Seder. Ani V'loi Malach. Ani Hashem. Ani V'loi Acher. There was no malach who took you out. I myself, Hashem, took you out. That's from Hashem's side. And I was thinking, what about from our side? We all went out of Mitzrayim as a group. Yes, chayiv adam, b'chol dor v'dor chayiv adam, lirois es atzmoi, ke'ilu hu yotzem in Mitzrayim. It's true, the whole Jewish people were taken out of Mitzrayim. But each one of us, separately, individually, had our own Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Geula represents, on Hashem's side, Him alone. There's no intermediary, no messenger, no angel. Hashem Himself, Bechvodo Uva'atzmoy, and me. Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. So just like that, that's what Rav Bruna understood, and that's why he smiled. He saw the connection between Goal Yisrael. I myself individually was taken out of Egypt by who? By Hashem? And Shemona Esrei, I'm walking into the base, Kodesh HaKadoshim. I, like the Kohen Gadol, I and Hashem alone. So perhaps that's the aspect that Tshuva of Geula is not only what Rav Soloveitchik said, that it's quick, but there's another idea. Because Geula, as we saw just now from Rav Schwab's thought, is that I stand lifnei Hashem, which Rabbi Soloveitchik says. That concept of standing lifnei Hashem, that's what Yom Kippur is the same as Shabbos. The Shabbos, the connection, Shabbos, Shabboson. What's the connection to Yom Kippur and Shabbos? Shabbos, as we explained, is to see the whole world is only Hashem. I'm standing only in front of Hashem wherever I go. Shavisi Hashem l'negdi summit. So too with Tshuva, and so too with Yom HaKippurim, Shabbos, Shabboson. You are lifnei Hashem. And therefore, the Rambam says, yesterday this person, this person, emesh haya zeh, this man was muvdul me Hashem, v'hayoyim hu mudbuk b'shchina. He is connected to the Shechina. And that's what the Rambam says. A Baal Tshuva should never think that he's not like a tzaddik because of his averis. Ein adover kein. Elo'ohu v'nechmadhu lifnei habore. He is beloved in front of Hashem. That, as if he never did a sin. If he's a Baal Tshuva, it's as if he never did a sin ever in his life. So this perhaps is the second point of Geula. A tshuva of redemption is one where I remember that I'm standing totally in front of Hashem. And we just close with a thought that I heard, that we say in the Yud Gimel Midas Rach, there are 13 attributes of mercy. It says, Hashem, Hashem. And we say Hashem before a person sins, and Hashem after a person sins. And the idea I heard was that in every relation that is ruptured, even if you patch it back up, you can patch it up again, but the love that was there to begin with is gone. If it was ruptured and you bring it back, you can get along, but the love is not there. By Hashem, it's not that way. What if you patch up your relationship with Hashem, then you it's back to the way it was before. He loves you just like he loved you before you did a chet. Hashem, Hashem, kel racham v'chanan. So if we realize that tshuva is one of geula, based on bechir, we want to become really sincerely good, not for any other reason, then we could be zoicha, not only for a fast tshuva, but we can be zoicha to have the personal relationship of lifnei Hashem, the Shabbos Shabbosan, the same idea of Shabbos, that we come back to Hashem and we are loved by Hashem as if we never sinned, the same love that he had before we sinned. May we all be zoicha to do such a tshuva on Yom HaKippurim.